Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
I wanted to share today around the title, In Every Crisis, There is an Opportunity. In every crisis, there is an opportunity. And I pray this morning that it will be faith building, it will bring hope, because the masks are temporary. In the not too distant future, you'll be dancing, singing, full in this auditorium, celebrating together. And that celebration, it will be so much more meaningful because of what you're experiencing now. Without COVID, worship would, well, with COVID, worship will have a new meaning. That's going to happen. That's the reality of going through challenges. It brings an opportunity like you've never experienced in a crisis. That's what happens with a crisis. And I want to just give a bit of background. I originally left to Indonesia 28 years ago, 1991. And I planned to go for 1 year, 28 years ago. It was a signed commitment. I would commit 1 year of my life. And I went there, and as was the right thing to do, I went to the local police station. It was in a rural area, Muslim area. My heart was with one other person, was to bring the good news to this unreached area. And the policeman said, come live with me, this Muslim policeman, because there's no foreigners around, you know, coming through this area. It was a fun experience for him. And so we shifted in with this Muslim policeman, myself and one other person, another guy, and he took us out every night and treated us as his sons for that year. And we had all this interesting food. We didn't know what we were eating during that year. And I remember once, I'm sort of telling a few stories now that I didn't say 8:30 because they're not recording. I remember once, so treating us like his sons, he'd say, if there's any problems, just let me know. And we're eating one evening and this beggar came in. And I didn't want this to happen. This beggar came in to where we are eating and asked us for money. As a policeman, he pulled out the gun on the beggar. don't. And so he was this protective person. And the transport was horse and cart. Normally, that was where we'd go with him. And there was about a 2 or 3% population of Chinese in Christian churches. And the thing that struck me in living in this world for a year, it was a world apart, their world and the church. It could have been, even though we are driving past, it could have been in Europe, that church with its fence out the front. And in Philippians 2, there's a challenge to empty ourselves, to take on the form of a servant and to step in to their world. And that became the framework for ministry for the next 28 years. Stepping in to a world that is so distant that will never, the cultural, language, social gap, the good news would never touch because of that gap. And even in reality, even in Sydney, there are communities which have that gap that feel really uncomfortable until we step in to a world that is very different. And a couple of other principles that became foundational. One person said, a good friend of mine, he said, unless you're working with nationals, you're like spinning your wheels in mud. And so from the earliest days, it was the investment into Indonesians. And basically for 10, 15 years, every initiative has come from the heart of our Indonesian team. And we are supporting a vision that's driving forward. And when COVID hits, the vision keeps going. Because there are people within that community that stepped into that world and where the gospel is multiplying in that world. The other thing which is foundational is families. Reaching families. I realized that this family I'd live with, if one of their family left into that church, to be honest, it would start a riot in the town. And it's nothing to do with faith. Nothing to do with faith. But it's just about community. They're our people. They're our community. And so Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, the foundation for reaching out. God gave a promise that all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so we want to see families blessed with the gospel, whether that's in Sydney, in the Shire, in Indonesia, or in this world that we stepped into. Families blessed. And we've seen that become a reality. After that, during this time, had three children. We were married 1993. And the end of 93, we've been in Indonesia. Three children born in Indonesia. And I have a couple of photos. We left in April. Daniel was at a school in Java from kindergarten all the way through to year 12. 2 months before graduation, COVID hit, the school was shut down. And so we had a mini graduation just before. That's his classmates, many of them from kindergarten all the way through in East Java. And we came back to Sydney in April, quarantined, and now we hope that March next year, or the first quarter of next year, we'll be able to go back to Indonesia. And so I want to invite Rhonda to come up. Around this theme, in every crisis, there is an opportunity. Rhonda, in the last year or so, has ministered into the prisons in the area, in the city in Java, where we serve. 600 women in a prison. It's actually supposed to have a capacity of 150 in that. And so about three or four times a week reaching out. And so this is one story.
Hey, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here again. And, yeah, I just wanted to share a little bit about the prison ministry. About 12 or 14 years back, when we first got to Java, I heard that there was an Australian lady in the prison, in the women's prison. And so I went there. I didn't know the name. I didn't know anything. We just sort of knocked on this window, me and an Indonesian lady, and they opened the little window and they said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Oh, we want to visit the Australian lady. Have you got a letter?" "No." And they just shut the window. And that was the shut door at that time. And then 2 years ago, I had a girl from Hong Kong, and she was ministering to the Chinese women in the prison. And she said, "Oh, you want to visit?" I said, "Can I really?" "Yes, okay." So she gave me the name of a Filipino lady, and she had been in prison at that point, 8 years, I think. And so I went to visit this lady, Nicole, and she told me her story. And the story was that she had not had a great marriage in the Philippines, and she wanted to do something different, so she left her three daughters with the husband in care of the mother-in-law and the family there, and she got a job in Malaysia. So she was working in Malaysia, and she met these friends who said, "Oh, Nicole, we can get you a ticket to go to Surabaya for the weekend, and then you come back, you know, just for the weekend." "Oh, sure, okay, that sounds good. Okay, Nicole, take this backpack." and it's empty, you can put your stuff in it. So she did that, and then when she scanned her bags through, they called her over and they slit the backpack, and there was 1 kilo of drugs in the backpack. And then she immediately, that's not mine, is this your backpack, did you carry it? Okay, then it's your problem. And her sentence was life, so she's in for life. And she said, she was really naive and she trusted these people, and she didn't realize she would end up in the prison. But when you get a sentence like that, and she didn't have money, so it wasn't much representation, you don't really know if life means, could mean life, like don't come out, or it could mean 20 years, or it could mean whatever age you are at the time you're arrested, then that's your life. And you would spend, if you're 25, you'd come out when you're 50, sort of thing. So we still don't know what her sentence means. But when I was given her name, she was very depressed and despondent, and she'd been trying to contact her mum and dad, calling them for the last year. She hadn't got through, so she was really, really, really not in a good space. And so I asked her, well, do you have family? Can you give me the names of your daughters? And we looked up on Facebook and we found them. And I was able to print off pictures, and she wrote a letter and sent it to them. And there's been a lot of correspondence. She's got lots of pictures, and we take food and money and clothing and medicine. And there's a lot of restrictions, but she's just really feeling like there's somebody who cares about her and somebody who visits just her, because a lot of the Indonesians have family who will visit them, and not all of them, but some of them. And so then when people get called out for visiting, and it's always never her, never Nicole, but this one day when I visited the first time, Nicole, you have a visitor? No one wants to visit me. Yes, I heard your name. And she came, and that's how I began to visit with her. And in that crisis that she had, being, you know, arrested for the drugs and being set up, really, she's been able to come to know Christ in a really significant way. She said to me many times, she calls me Sister Rhonda. Sister Rhonda, you know, before I was having a great time enjoying my life and spending money and dancing and partying and I just wanted to forget my problems back in Philippines, and I thought I was having a great life. But she said, that's not really a great life. She said, now I've found Christ, and I've been able to read the scriptures. I have read them in Indonesian, in English, in Tagalog, and we've been able to get her Bibles in a different languages, and she's really grown a lot. And it was her birthday back in a few months back. Yeah, and it was her birthday. I'd been doing paperwork for almost 2 months to get this team coming from Hong Kong. There were a group of 19 singers. They sang opera, and they often do these outreach tours, especially in Mandarin, sharing, like singing Christian songs. And they came out to the prison, and they came in their gowns, and the guys in their tuxedos, and they called all the prisoners, and they were sitting in a big room on the floor, like a few hundred, about 500 ladies. And then the team began to sing like opera, and the women were just enthralled and clapping and they were really excited. And then I said to one of them, the leader, oh, you know, today is Nicole's birthday. Can you sing to her? So they sang happy birthday to her, and it was like God's timing is so special and so good. And yeah, and she says, you know, like, even though my life is difficult in here, but it's actually better than it could have been back home. I get to pray for my family all the time, and I, you know, have a real relationship with Christ. And yeah, and I think people can see her joy as well. So other inmates come to her and share their heart, and they know they can trust her. So yeah, she's come a long way, and we just keep praying that she can hopefully get out soon. Thank you.
Yeah. So Nicole is one of, I think it's 40 or 50 people visited on a regular basis, and Rhonda has a team of 10 to 15 women. This is pre-COVID. Things have changed, visiting prisons in COVID. But I want to go on around this theme. In every crisis, there is an opportunity. James 1, verse 2, we just read the first part of the verse, then we get on to the rest later. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That seems a bit over the top, pure joy. but that's Paul's view. When we view trials and challenges in God's eyes, how God sees them, they no longer have the power to oppose us. When we can walk through those challenges and see them in a new perspective, see them with new eyes, they just don't have the sting on our lives. And this is consistent. It's not just James. It's again and again and again. Trials are normal for Christians. We are not immune from trials. For our light and momentary troubles, 2 Corinthians 4:17, are achieving for us an eternal glory. One thing about these verses it brings out is the temporal nature of trials. And so at the beginning, I shared about this is not, these masks are not permanent. They are temporary. And so there is always that dynamic, a temporary nature, it's temporary. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing. Romans 8:18, with the glory that will be revealed in us. And so, trials are normal. Challenges is normal. And so when we have that fact, that truth in our head, it helps us to stand firm. And for our faith to not waver. It helps us to not question God. Because when we are in those times when we are flying like an eagle through life, we're on the top of things, and it's such a good feeling. Maybe you've got a promotion in your job, and you just feel like God is right behind me. I'm flying forward. Or when we are facing challenges, God is the same present in both. Whether challenges or flying like an eagle, God is there. God is there. Challenges are normal for Christians. And this has been something we've just had to learn. In Indonesia, there's been a lot of challenges. I shared this morning in the first few, and a part of this is learning yourself in growing yourself in how to deal with situations. But nearly every month, I would have a mouthful of ulcers through stress in Sulawesi, in Indonesia, for probably a couple of years. Just dealing with the stresses of, we would have 15 Indonesians who we recruited and who would take this journey of becoming a servant and stepping into the world and in rural villages. That was stressful for Indonesians in bringing good news. And there was a lot of cultural stress, a lot of challenges, a lot of external stress. One challenge I received one day was we did the Jesus film once many, many years ago in the local language, and it requires 16 people to get that. It used to. To produce that. And halfway through the producing of the film, I got a phone call And it wasn't, I wasn't totally fluent in Indonesian at this time, but I got a phone call saying, stop this project now or we'll take action according to our holy Quran. And the phone went down. I didn't know who it was from, but I just had to go to bed that night thinking. And actually our daughter was about 2 weeks old at that time. And stress, challenges, all sorts of challenges. But challenges are normal. And the second thing is, it's not just challenges, but there is a purpose to the challenges. The rest of this verse in James 1, verse 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. And there's all sorts of trials we face. It could be mild depression, a challenge, or it could be anything that's challenging in this season. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So the first opportunity in trials is personal growth. Growing as a person. And it says here, that challenge, that trial, that crisis, it produces perseverance. It produces perseverance. And so the trial is not a useless exercise, but it's God's instrument to produce something positive in our lives. And that positive thing is perseverance. And without perseverance, you cannot do anything. You cannot grow a business. You cannot reach out to people when you get a knockback. You cannot serve. You cannot do anything without perseverance. And it's that perseverance that requires challenges, that creates that perseverance. A friend of mine said, in some ways, we wake up in the morning, we're not looking for trouble, but we say to trials, hello, friend. That is the attitude to challenges, because it creates growth, it creates perseverance, and it creates maturity. One of the persons, one of our Indonesian leaders who's actually spoken in the guest room many years ago, and he has been in prison a number of times for his faith. And what he experienced, say a decade ago, if he experienced now through challenges, he just doesn't feel it. He doesn't feel it anymore. The impact of that challenge through challenges in life, it doesn't have its same sting, that challenge. And so for every one of us living with challenges, all sorts of trials, our daughter Emily, 3 years learning or studying at uni in the hotel industry, just completed 1.5 years in working in a hotel downtown Sydney, COVID, beginning of April, shut down, has to redo a new career. The challenges that cause perseverance, growth, when we understand what they're used for. And we can, with this knowledge that these challenges are for growth, we can stand and face these challenges and be calm in a crisis. We can be calm in a crisis, and those challenges have lost their sting. Another opportunity in a crisis is God's power is displayed in a crisis. In fact, this is often, I see things happen God's intervention happens more in a crisis than when we're flying like an eagle over the top of situations. God's power is displayed. Acts 8 verse 1, just the first part of the verse. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered. Acts 8 verse 1. We just read that. We can read it in 10 seconds. But if you can imagine people from all around, the Greek-speaking Jews from Egypt, Libya, and that is a long way. They've journeyed and they love this city. They love Jerusalem. They've accepted Jesus as their king, but there's a connection with the temple. It's their place where they sense God in a unique way. And so now, maybe with rocks, you are no longer welcome in this place. And so they start walking. You could imagine along dusty roads, the Shire to Wollongong and beyond. They no longer have a spiritual home. Imagine you no longer having a spiritual home. They're scattered. This is their COVID moment when their world is in a crisis. But then Acts 11, verse 19. And those who'd been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word to only among Jews. That was their worldview. They hadn't stepped into the world of this, like I was sharing before, and the incarnation. So it was only to Jews, but some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. We don't know how long. They could have been plodding along for 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, was the crisis in their life. That crisis was turned around and became a great opportunity where for the first time the gospel came out of the Jewish world and into our world, the Greek-speaking world. And we learnt about, that's our world, the Greeks in New Testament, introduction to New Testament. And I've been to Ephesus and see, oh, that's our world. A whole situation of chaos, but God displaying his power in the midst of a crisis of challenge, and it changed the world. Who knows what will come out of the challenges of today? You'll be changed forever tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Mumwood, our leader, one of our leaders, he had been called into religious authorities. And he telephoned me and one other guy, our Indonesian leader, he telephoned. And he felt this was the last time he would talk to me. And we were all crying because there were some issues. He hadn't done anything wrong necessarily, but traditions were challenged. And so we were crying on the phone, and it was a crisis situation. And then through a particular God's hand, like it says, God's hand was with them, the situation changed for the better. Not only for the better, there was a dramatic change in the situation. And today, he's a blessing for young Muslim people all over the nation developing skills in their situations. Kids who are on the edge of the highway, they're begging with cans, begging for coins. Now they've got employment through his ministry and getting new spiritual foundations in their lives. And it's been such a change with this work that about a couple of years ago, he was running a conference about this, about giving our young people a future and a hope, not of begging with cans, but where they can be equipped with skills. And the president of Indonesia telephoned him on a video call and telephoned him to say thank you. Thank you for being a blessing to Indonesia, to young rural Muslims all throughout this country. And that is an opportunity in a crisis. And so I want to finish in prayer, just praying for hope, and that the challenge in your life would be turned into an opportunity. Let's just close our eyes. And for you to visualize, what are the challenges? What are the moment? What is the chaos in your life right now? Lord, I pray. And we believe that these challenges are temporal. And Lord, in these challenges, there is an opportunity. And these challenges have a purpose, that we will grow as better disciples of you. But Lord, I pray that in these challenges, your power would be displayed, and that there would be a display of your wisdom, of your hand, just like in the book of Acts. In the midst of a crisis, your hand was with us. And Lord, we believe that we can stand firm with a hope that you will journey with us through any challenge, and that on the other side, we will be stronger in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.